Okay, welcome back. Today I'm just replacing David for, you know, this section alone, and the main focus is only on the project 2. And I'm assuming you guys have already gone through the lecture at least.
We tried.
Maybe you tried.
The
okay.
Streaming server crashing last night.
Okay. And how many of you went through the project spec? Project 2 spec. Okay. So initially, David's and my plan was to, do a full code walkthrough. Okay. But yesterday night, I sent him an email saying, like, there is this old section, MP3, on my desktop, you know, which is the same thing, you know. He's going through the entire code spec, and it's the same code. Okay, it's not changed. So I sent him an email and asking, you know, why not we post that one onto the website, and, you know, so that I can just answer their questions today. Instead of, you know, I do the same thing again. So he found the material on his website also, and he posted it back onto a course website. Now under the section, you have the MP3 file from the section, which he took last semester.
Where is it under lecture?
Under section. Under section.
Under section.
Okay. There's a section 3.mp3 file.
You mean the lecture in the section?
Sorry. Yeah, there is a separate section link.
Yeah, that I know, but I mean, it's the lecture that is under the
not the lecture,
link?
It is just the section.
The section, okay.
Yeah. 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 He used to have a separate section after the lecture, and that's just an MP3 file, okay. Not the video. Okay, but he explained complete project up to the HTUB. Okay, like in very detail what he is expecting out of the project too. Okay, under sections link. On the course website, under section, see that? There is also there is another file, tips file, which is put by, I think, a TA from the last year. Okay, he explained all the, you know, how the output is expected, or what is a cell and processor does, you know, for XSLT transformation and all the things. So that is a very good document to read, and I would really recommend you go through the section MP3 first, and then his note, you know, that note in the website before you start project. Okay, before you start implementing anything. Okay, just go through it again and again and just understand it. From my experience, otherwise when you reach TUBE, XTUBE programming, the third part of the project, you'll be completely stuck otherwise. And that's a very, kind of very interesting project, but it is a little bit complex when you read it. But once you get a handle to it, you know, it's very fun. Okay. Otherwise, you'll just feel like, oh God, it's 10-page spec. You know, it might take a lot of time to finish, actually. And I can assure you that's one part of the project. You are going to have tons of emails to list. I have no doubt about it. Okay, because it's a little bit complex when you really initially look at it.
If you guys could put a FAQ from, if you have those emails from previous years, just dump them as an FAQ, you can save yourself a lot of trouble. And
let me try to do that. You know, like whatever I can pick from the previous list. You know, because I was the one who was mostly answering along with David during the last semester, even though I was on the TA. So I do have it in my sandbox or, you know, in my mailbox. So let me try to take a look at it. Whichever is relevant, you know, I'll take it. Okay, and I'll put it as one document or whatever. Okay. But my one big recommendation to you guys is, like, keep sending the list, you know. So it won't be just me replying. There will be many guys who want to reply, you know. Maybe help each other. Okay. So, assuming you guys will be going through the code walkthrough, okay, and you'll get a clear picture of what is expected out of the project, I'll just give a kind of brief explanation about the project from my experience of doing this. Okay, and how you may want to approach it the same way David explained. Okay, so once again, as I mentioned to many of you guys, and David keep mentioning, appendix section of the project, it's very, very important. Okay, the last 19 and 2021. You have to make sure, you know, like before you really implement, and after you hear all the sections and all those things, you go through this appendix section and tick one by one, make sure you did it. Okay, and if you couldn't finish any of that step, you may not be able to, implement it in your local desktop. Okay, but you don't have to do any of these things if you're developing in NICE. Okay, if you're just using Emacs or VI editor and, you know, simply developing off night, you don't need to follow this appendix. Appendix section is only for you to really do it on your desktop. Okay. And if you don't follow one of the steps, you may face problem, you know, with some class path, or, you know, some jar file which you can't see, or some Java class file which you can't see. There will be many problems you will be facing. So make sure you finish up to 21, page number 21, before you really start implementing on your desktop.
Yeah,
fine?
So if we're doing all the compiling on the project,
no, spec, I didn't. You can take it.
The appendix tells you how to set up a development environment. If you're working on NICE that already is set up.
Yeah, I've just been dropping stuff into the server and compiling there.
Yeah, if you keep compiling off, you know, NICE, you're fine.
Okay.
Only thing is, like, if you're developing off Eclipse and you want to, you know, build and do everything in Eclipse, and then finally at the end of the night, you know, you just want to move to NICE and submit, then you have to follow this appendix section. Okay. And this is a good exercise for you. If you just do it in NICE, you will never understand how to do it by yourself. That's one point which David mentioned in the section. It's like, this is a step for you to understand what are the Java files or jar files which was needed to set up your environment to work with XML and XSLCM for open development. Okay. And I would say that if you want to try it out, please. Okay. So now, the project itself. Much complex than project one, for sure, at least when you reach the XDU. Okay. But the project starts with very simple one, B2B. Okay. What exactly expected, as David mentioned, is like take a parameter for your XSLT transformation and then just use some XSLT substring functions and you know, just format it in a different format. Okay. So there is an XSL file which is in the B2B folder. It's only one XSL file which you have to submit for B2B. Open that XSL file, and then, you know, like, there is already a parameter class called daytime. You take the daytime parameter, and in the section where he said to do, if you really look at the page number 1 of the code spec, the code walkthrough page, here. Okay, the first page itself. You can see a to-do section under XSL template flash, right? There you have to just do the substring function. So take this parameter daytime and apply whichever format he was expecting in the, you know, project requirement. For example, if you wanted... If you wanted to get it printed, I'm showing the page number 6, daytime. See that? Page number 6, daytime element of the project spec. Fine? So that's all you have to do. Take the daytime parameter, apply the substring function, and just output the XML in this format. Good?
Yeah.
Oh, I just went a little bit ahead with the project actually. I forgot about the QT. There were a couple of QT question number 3 and 4. And this is only in the spec. It's all about, you know, writing some.
So, which question?
Question number 3 and 4. That's called as QT. Page number 5. Okay? This is all about writing some XPath expression based on the question. You know, like, how can you filter out of, you know, just like if you have all the SQLs, you know, the query which you'll be writing to extract from tables, right?
Yeah.
The same way, how can you write XPath expressions to take it out of an XML file? You know, it's a simple XPath expression. You don't have to put XML fragment or anything. Just tell what will be the XPath expression which you will be writing to get the information which you want.
I have a question about that one. When it says inefficient versus efficient, what does that mean in terms of XSLT?
In the XSLT processing, what can happen is, like, it's the same way when you do a SQL, right, from database. There are some queries which you can write in a better way than, you know, like, some inefficient queries. Just suppose the same way you write the SQL itself. You know, some SQL if you write, you'll end up doing a lot of table scan. You know, but if you really properly index, or you know, if you really look at based on the index, you're actually retrieving first, and you're, you know, making the process less.
So it's a matter of being less recursive?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, like, you know, you shouldn't be iterating quite a lot to fetch the information that you need.
Okay.
Find the shortest path to get your information. Okay, shortest and more efficient, because the moment you make it the longest and, you know, like, less efficient, your computer is taking so much time. If it is a big XML file, you can just think.
Well, as an example, not actually writing any XPath, but describing things in plain language. If you have that XML file and this is the first one and says, okay, pull out all the students whose last name starts with a B, I mean, what would be, you know, an inefficient way to do it?
See, this like this. I mean,
you would say get all the students, and then for every student, get their last name, and then...
And then match it with, the, you know, whatever the requirement was asked for. Like, you know, L starts with, you know, B or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when you really look at the xcube.xml, when you go to the last section, you will understand what is mean by the efficient versus inefficient. The moment you write an inefficient XPath, it won't even run. It's just a sort of crash in the, you know, your XPath conversion won't even happen. You will face that in this project too. You know, in the beginning of the project, you might be confused a little bit, you don't know which one is my better, because it's a small XML file.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't notice which one is efficient versus not efficient. Okay, but by the time you really reach XCube project, you will understand what could have been done better. You know, like, why is it taking so much time for me to extract the station versus line versus whatever. Okay.
So you want to traverse the least amount of nodes.
Yes, okay. Yes. And, you know, reach where you want and then grab it.
Okay.
Is this is explained in the lecture, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
He has explained it very well. And
okay.
He showed, I mean, he demoed it also. He has demoed it using the Stylus Studio. He used the Stylus Studio actually to, you know, show how to do the XPath expressions and everything. And I would recommend you could download from the resources Stylus Studio. Like, you can put this XML file in there, write your XPath, but he recommends you to write it first and then try it out. Okay, but you can always test.
Is this on FAS? Can
yeah.
You can do the Stylus Studio there?
Yeah. You can, no, you have to download Stylus. It's a software.
I know it's in those, I think, at least on the thing, except for Windows.
Oh, you are not using that? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have XML spy?
Nothing? I do not.
Yeah.
And that was
maybe you can download the trial version.
Yeah. Check it out. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the only way you can test whether the next part is working fine or not.
How to test it is when it's running fast, or this one, my understanding, it's just optimizing XPath expression, right?
Your goal is actually just to write the XPath, you know, which will give you the output. And
okay.
Then next step is you can think to yourself, is it the best one? Okay, so don't worry about, you know, what output you produce. It's all about, you know, you are understanding, is there any better way than doing it? Don't worry about the mark on that.
Okay.
As long as you write the XPath expression to retrieve your information, that's the first goal. Second goal is you ask yourself, is it the, you know, best way to get my information out of it? Okay. So it's like, you know, SQL. You can write a better SQL.
Well, but I have an idea, because I know SQL. Like, if you write a SQL expression, like, if you don't index a file, that's
that
people doing
take a long
that I know. But what would be the similar thinking with the XPath?
I think you should wait till you hear this lecture.
Oh, okay.
He clearly explains, you know, like, how basically XPath is correlated to SQL, or, you know, like,
okay,
how you can write a better, you know, XPath expression. I don't want to contradict any statements right now. Okay, better you just listen to that lecture. He explains very clearly how the XPath expressions work. You had a question?
Yeah, can you identify which questions you should be able to do after each lecture?
You should be able to approach till XCube. Don't start XCube. Okay. You can do these two cookies, but there is a one section you have to leave in the cookies. That's generating the PDF out of your text file, an XML file. So just create XML file, keep it ready there. Okay. And later, after you know, I think here a couple of lectures, you will be able to generate an F4 file, you know, for generating your PDF. So don't straight away go and generate your PDF right now. Just write it in a text file or XML file or in some paper. Keep it ready. Okay. And when David says, you know, this is the time you can approach the PDF, just generate it. And then B2B, we can just finish it like in 10-15 minutes. and then my blockbuster. It will take just a day or two, depending on how much time you want to spend on it. And so, just before next lecture, you can do up to my blockbuster.
Up to and including
my blockbuster. Exactly. Okay.
Mind the gap.
Pardon?
Mind the gap.
Mind the gap is XTOP, yeah. So you can do the QK, you can do the B2B, you can do the My Blockbuster. Okay, so we'll focus more on these three for tonight. Okay. So any question on the QK number 3? Right, because 3 or 4 is also the same thing actually, you know. Just this is making you to leave from anywhere you want, from the course website or from his lecture or from the website. Wherever you can understand, you know, all these different expressions, ancestors, preceding, everything. You have to understand this. You must understand it before you really reach the, you know, my blockbuster, right? All those things. Okay, because otherwise you'll be just simply doing a trial and error, like, you know, to do your project. You might end up with a different result than what you are expecting. So make sure you understand. He clearly explains it. Make sure you understand in deep, you know, what's his preceding, what his ancestor means, what is his self means, you know, everything. Cool? Mm-hmm. So the B2B we explained. And my blockbuster. Before we go to my blockbuster, you will see actually there is a build.xml file in every project, right? Even for this project, there is a build.xml file provided. So after you do this B2B, you know, you can simply do this cell and you can type it yourself. Okay. And you can change the parameters and see whether your application is working fine. Okay. But when you go to my blockbuster and all those things, it might be tough for you to, you know, type all this cell and input file, output file. Instead of that, he has provided shortcut. That's called and targets. So that is on the page number 1 out of 5, the second page. Yeah.
2 out of 5.
1 out of 5. Actually, you need one page. Sorry. See one page. So here, build.xml. Yeah. So in the build.xml, line number 33. All the things he's explaining, you know, how you can actually just use and command to execute your my blockbuster.
Okay,
you had to just type and transform my blockbuster. It will show your output on the screen. Okay, but here, what it does is, sorry, I'm taking that word actually like not on the screen. It generates XHTML file. Okay, it's taking the XSL file, your XML file, and generate an HTML file, which will be, you know, you can watch it in the browser and see whether everything is coming properly fine. So the problem for you, if you're developing off night, is like you had actually put it back on your laptop desktop and, you know, like check it in the browser.
Okay.
So, but make sure you have your source directory, everything back on your desktop. Otherwise, you will miss your images and all those things.
Okay.
So.
Like a command line, how to open the browser from Linux
command
line. Huh?
I don't know where I got it set up actually.
You can type Notepad on Windows and it will open.
I think they had to set it up in Nice actually. If you had, I think, that display and all those things, and then you can start your browser.
So it's not possible to see the file location.
I think usually what we do is, you have a public HTML folder, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had to move everything over there,
okay.
And then you can actually see it in your.
You have to copy the directory.
I think he has already said that. You know, you can publish it. So, yeah, line number 44. Line number 44 on the build.xml, page number 1 out of 5. It says, you know, you can just say, you can directly go to a link. Your username is your class username, and you can say it. Okay. I think this transform also copy to public HTML folder, if I remember correctly. Okay, but that we can verify by looking over here. Build.xml. Line number 79. Is this transform?
It's
not publishing. Yeah, you can do this. line number 120, 130.
Line what? 130?
Yeah. Line 130 says, you know, how you could publish those things into the public_HTML folder. Okay, so if you run that command and publish my blockbuster, it will move all your files to the public_HTML folder, and you can access it using your browser. Now you don't have to FTP back to your desktop. Okay. Fine. So take a moment actually to look through this build.xml file to see what are the different target providers. Okay. And if you really look at this project spec on the footnotes, you would have mentioned, like, you know, how the Salin will work in your Windows desktop if it is a programming in Windows. If you type Salin on your Windows environment, it won't work. Because it's a bash script you have to set up. Okay, I think he has given it in your footnote.
He does have it in the appendix, I believe.
Yeah, appendix or footnote he mentioned, actually. I'll explain you 1 second. I'll tell you exactly the answer.
I think go back to the appendix.
The appendix?
Yeah. It's,
yes. I think 19.
Page
19. Yes,
there.
It's actually on page number 20 or the project spec. On the footnote. See that? So when you say, you can see that?
Okay.
Yeah, so it explains how when you type like this on the B2B, right? You have to type Salin minus XSL, B2B, XSL. How does the Salin is recognized? No, because Salin is not a generic command. It's a command actually with your script which you just stated. It says, you know, Java. There is a Java class provided by the Salin process, and then your arguments. Okay, so this one you have to put it in your project to root folder.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Put it in your project root folder from there. And because if you are putting in the root folder, then you will be always in the root folder even if you are working on the desktop, right? And you can always just simply type that. And otherwise, you have to put it in your system file. Okay. Otherwise, it won't recognize from everywhere. So any question on B2B? No? Fine. My block of text. Look at the page number 8 of the spec. Project spec. You can see this is what exactly expected. Now, just to generate a website, he has already given us this much, I believe. Okay, in a sample XSL file. Till the title, you know, till the image and everything is there. If you right now just do the HTML file on the browser, you will see this much information coming up to the title. But your goal is to actually go from the Gentoo view by title, actor, rating. Okay, now you can imagine yourself what exactly is expected. You're just saying, when you click on title, you know, like it should show all the movies based on title. So you write in some XPath expressions to filter from your XML file all the movies by your title. Okay, same with actor, same with rating. Okay, but when you say with rating, you first have to display all the rating, right? And then when you click on the rating, or under the rating, you have to display all the movies. So first you have to uniquely identify all the titles, you have to uniquely identify all the actors, you have to uniquely identify all the rating. And then for each of this, you filter, you know, using XPath, all the movies by title, movies by each unique actor, movies by each unique rating. Okay. And for each movie, there is some kind of images, GIF images provided, so you can put the, you know, images on the left side or wherever you want. Completely up to you how you want to make it beautiful. Okay, you can use extensive amount of JavaScript, so cascading style sheets, whichever you want to format it, whichever way you want to make it beautiful, fine. As long as the functionality of view by title, view by actor, view by rating are reflected.
What kind of information would you want to create that virtual
video? In the spec, he clearly explains for each one how much information. I think he articulates at least 3 information per movie, or at least 3 or 4 information per actor has to be displayed. You had to go through the spec in detail. He says for each and everything how much information is really need to be displayed. Okay.
Is this legal?
No, he changed it.
Oh my! Oh,
right.
You're
silly.
That's
true. It's not the same.
Yeah, making it pretty is completely up to you.
There's no point for that.
As long as you display the page at least this much, working. Yeah. But working. Yeah. That's all expected. But if anybody wants to go beyond it and make it prettier and apply so many capturing style sheets or JavaScript, do that.
In the lecture, he went kind of quickly over using the attribute value to create hyperlinks. Is that explained in the section that's online?
Not in the section, because section he just does a code walkthrough. But in his lecture, I believe he has some examples. If not,
he went really quickly.
Just send an email to him. I'll send examples.
Okay.
Okay. I'll definitely send it actually. Okay. So that shouldn't be a problem at all. If any questions when you're about to implement, if you're facing, please, just post a list, so that I may not have to reply to, each and everyone individually. Okay. And again, once you implement it, just do and transform my blog cluster. Even in the desktop, it will create your HTML file. Then you can go to your browser and see the output. Okay. The challenge you're going to face in this particular project is how to find it unique.
How to find unique values?
Yes. Okay, that's a little bit challenging. If you have duplicate actors or duplicate ratings, how to find ratings of G, R, because there will be, when you filter, right, there will be multiple G, multiple R's.
Right.
So if you take a look at XML file, my blockbuster, let's see. See, actors you can, because there's only a unique actress ID. Okay, so they're unique. Okay, that won't be a problem.
For this example, we need to be general. Like, we can have another file.
No. This is as long as you can make it work for this input XML file.
Yes.
Your input XML files are given. That XML file you're expected to finish.
Why do we necessarily need unique? I didn't understand that part.
Okay,
if they say, show me all the R-rated movies, then you pick out the R-rated movies. It's not a matter of unique value.
Correct. But how do you know, show the R-rated movie? Where did you get the value R?
Oh, it's in the XML.
Yeah,
somewhere.
That's a challenge, actually. How do you fit all those values uniquely?
XPath somehow.
Exactly. That's a challenge you might face.
Oh, okay.
To find it unique. You cannot actually...
You're basically talking about SSLT filters.
SSLT, yeah. Writing the correct XPath expression, not to duplicate RR when you display it. You should display R only once.
Oh, no duplicate R.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that's just an example I'm saying. So when you display it, for example, movies by title, you shouldn't be duplicating title more than once on your list. You should have the title appearing only once. Okay?
Okay.
So, that means if it comes more than once, that means your XPath expression is not correct.
Oh.
Got it?
All right.
Got it?
So avoid duplicate value.
Yes. So you have to find movies by title. You have to find all the unique titles. You have to find all the movies by actor. Find all the unique actors. Movies by rating. Find all the unique ratings. List them first, and then for each title, display the movie. For each actor, display the movie. For each rating, display the movie.
We go with this data that we are having.
Yes.
We can't play with it.
Yes.
Only this data. Yes.
You're not supposed to alter the input XML file or add to it. But I can actually explain the XML file so that you won't have the confusion. So that XML file starts with a database of actors. Page number 1 of 11 for the code box. 1 of 11.
Oh,
it is in the page number 6.
Yeah.
Okay. So in there, actors. Actor, you can see all the unique actors, right? So as long as you filter correctly based on this list, you will get unique actors.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have any problem. Okay? Now, movies by, what is the next expected? Movies by title, right? So now, there are movie elements in the XML file. You can see that, right? Under movies, you have movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have a set of movies under movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And each movie has a title.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is also uniquely identified. So it is easy for you to filter all the titles.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, right? Because the movie title is not duplicated across movie elements.
Right.
Okay.
So right. It's not duplicated.
No, because this is each movie element.
Okay.
Okay. Each movie is uniquely identified with an ID and with a title.
Okay.
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 Because if the title is duplicated, then you are losing the value of it. Okay. This database, the movies are not duplicated. You can easily filter the movie also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Movie by title is fine. Now, movie by actor is fine. Movie by rating. There is no separate rating section, if you really look.
Oh.
Right? There is nothing called, you know, what are the different ratings.
Where is the rating within the movie itself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So you can see there's no separate rating, right, section which you can just filter all the rating. And you have to go through each movie and, you know, fetch all the ratings, right? And out of this list, uniquely identify the rating. Got it? So for example, the movie first rating is R, right? Now if you just do movie/rating, you know, you're going to get a list of ratings which will have a duplicate set.
That's where you open those brackets. I saw the first part.
Yeah, you had actually, you know, you can do it in different ways in XPath. You know, it's a little bit complex, or you can do it in a easier way, you know, like go through the list and then, you know, you compare with your previous value and see, you know, this value is not appeared in the list again. You know, so there are different ways you can filter it out. But what I would do is, like, you know, in the list, I'll send an, you know, way to do it. So you guys can just follow it if you're not able to do it in any other way.
It's a matter of like variables?
Yeah, it's just a way of like, you know, get your first list and then when you go through that list, you compare it to the previous value which you said,
okay.
See whether it was already occurred.
Okay.
Okay. If yes, ignore that. You know, continue, go through the list. So find the unique one which was in the list. Okay. Finally, you should have a list with G, R, A, B, like that. And you can sort it. So when you fetch
okay.
yourself, you can sort it. Okay. And then now you go through the list. Fine. That's the only thing will be challenging in this project. Really.
So you're talking about grouping the movies ever into ratings, not?
Yeah. You had a group first, and then you know, like, get it. Because first you have to display all the rating, and then using that R, you fetch all the movies.
Oh,
now I understand. Okay.
Got it? How do you didn't understand?
No, I just
wait. How do you get? No, go ahead.
Okay,
I mean, where's the R count? I mean, the R is depends on what you click.
R is what you click. Uh huh. Yes.
So
but how do?
You, oh, right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, you list. You say these are the ratings, G, PG, 13, R.
Right, right.
And you say, all right,
and then
an R.
And then you click on that and say, okay, that's my filter element, sort of.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
but how do you know
it's different?
How did you get this G and R first?
So you have to get a unique list of just
what are the
one G.
Okay. Now I understand.
That's the one I was saying, like,
okay.
Challenging, actually, you know, movies by title,
oh,
easy. You can filter all the titles.
Movies
by actor, easy to filter the actors.
Okay.
Because they have a unique set. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But rating, it's part of every movie.
Excuse
me. So you had to first, yeah, get the group of rating, and, you know, find the unique values out of the group. Okay. Display it first. And then you get this each value. Filter again all the movies for each rating.
Okay, so it's not these are not just hard coded in, you know, G,
no,
PG,
no,
R.
No,
you have to
no.
extract
all
this information
the ratings,
you have
to extract from the, all right, now I get it. Yeah.
Okay.
This section is not even there in your Excel file.
Mm-hmm.
You will be seeing when you generate only this much.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all the steps you have to generate. Okay. So your Excel file, you will see just pretty blank. You know, you'll see only this top image is being displayed. Okay.
I didn't understand the first question. You are asking us to transfer some data exchange format to XML representation?
Yes. The B2B, right?
So should we write a Java program?
No. There is an XSL file in the B2B folder. Okay, and it's called b2b.xsl.
Yeah.
So in that XSL, there is a to-do section. What you do is, when you do the 7 of the B2B, it says ln minus XSL b2b.xsl param data. You're passing a date time. Can you just show in the project spec? Page number 7. You can see that parameter daytime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're passing the daytime parameter to the XSL when you execute this command. Okay? Now your XSLT file, B2B XSL, take this parameter, apply some string substring functions, and just create this XML format which is in the page number 6.
So what this XSL does is just take string and process it somehow.
Exactly, and then just do the XSL element and, you know, just put the values in there.
Oh, so
there
you don't have to do like arcs, zero, all that stuff, read it.
No, nothing. You're not even opening a Java file.
Okay,
this is pure XSL. Okay, I don't think in this project, you don't even have to, forget about Eclipse. Yeah.
What
this
do you one, use for that?
This is just purely XML XSL.
Can we assume here about all numbers?
Use an editor, regular editor?
Regular, and I would recommend Stylus Studio. You know, if you guys are Windows users, XML Spy, you have free license from course website.
Oh, okay.
And your life will be far easier. You must use it, I would say.
Stylus Studio.
We have the link.
You have the link from the course of the website.
What's the alternative XML file?
XML Spy. Yeah.
Can we assume here what all numbers come as digits, for example, month, hour, minute, and
where this
format
is? Yeah, here this is, first of all, it's very easy. So from that point itself, you shouldn't be even thinking there's any complexity involved in it. That means the input is given. The output format is no other format will be, you know, coming as input.
Okay. Can I assume that, for example, hours are defined as 2 days?
2 days.
Yes.
Okay, here, nothing is expected out of here other than, you know, just print that XSL element, substring value, etc. Okay, because tube, when you reach tube, you will see, you know.
So we will need Java in tube, right?
No. This is pure XML XSL SVG. That's it. Okay, project 2 you can shut down your Eclipse. Okay, project 3 I think yes. Project 3 and project 4 are big Eclipse. Cool. So
I was going to say, I'm really pretty new to the XSS and stuff. So I was going to say, how long do you think, how much time we can put
first
to
listen to the video lecture from lecture 4. After you hear that, your half impression will be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when you start working on, for example, like, you know, finding this unique value, you might feel like a little bit tough. So that time you'll really go to websites and, you know, start reading the materials, how to find unique values. I can assure you, you'll type this thing in Google, how to find unique values in XSL. I'll tell you, that's the one line which I type most. So you'll definitely do that. Because there are so many different ways to do it. Okay. And it's a little bit complex. Now, if a person like me, I'm not an expert of XPath. That means, you know, like, if you're new to XPath, definitely it will take some time to get used to it. Okay, that is why, as much as you can hear the section from David and the lecture, please. And practice as much as XPath before you get into XTube. I'll recommend doing that. Just don't straight away get into XTube. Try to do it. It's very complex from XPath point of view. So it's all depending on, you know, how much time you really put on the lecture and section first and then approach the project. Cool. And 7:10. Any other question on my blog post?
I have one question.
Sure.
So I haven't opened up the files yet for the project, but I'm seeing that all the releases have image files.
Mm-hmm.
Are those in that directory?
Yes, that's why I said, like, you know, if you listen to David's section, he says all the directory structure very clearly.
Okay.
You know, like, for example, page number, page 2 of the code. Page 2, the code was. Do you have it?
Which of the build file?
Yeah, the build file.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. So if you open that, that's a directory structure you will be dealing with. And you can see there is no SRC folder. Okay? You got it?
So the images are part of anything?
Yeah, I'll go through a directory section once. Right. Okay? And then we will wrap it up after this. Okay, so the this directory structure is like project 2, 8. Same as project 1, and B2B is the first one. One simple directory, there is a file called b2b.xml. Put your content right there to pass your data, you're done. Fine? Now, next one is my blockbuster. There is a GIF directory, JPG directory, XHTML directory, XML directory, XSL directory. So, as you can imagine, the input XML file is inside the XML directory. You don't have to worry about it. You have to but look at it and see, like, you know, what you really have to filter. XHTML directory is the output folder, so you shouldn't be manually putting anything in there. The AND command or the transformation will be putting the output file in that directory. Fine?
The XHTML?
Yeah. Okay. It will be in the, with a .html extension, but that's XHTML, no?
Mm-hmm.
And the JPG and GIF directories are the images which are already there, so you can start using it, you know, with GIF slash whatever. Okay, so if you see, like, if you slash GIF slash, you're not seeing the image, remove the slash. Whichever way, you know, the relative path or the absolute path, you can start using it. But don't use the complete absolute path, just the relative path. Because it should work in nice whenever you move it. Okay?
Is our XHTML supposed to validate as well as part of the assignment?
Actually, it is just recommended, but not mandatory.
Not required?
No.
Okay.
For example, like if you write XHTML, it has the XHTML GTD, you have to validate by itself. Okay, so there are websites which you can, you know, do that. From the, I think W3 has an XHTML validator. But it's not mandatory, don't spend much time in there. It's always better practice to, you know, write some XHTML which is valid. Okay, but don't worry too much about it. Okay.
So XHTML
will work, yeah. But it's a good practice actually to be validating and all that. And so that XSL is fine, right? So your main goal is to write an XSL file which is in the XSL folder. Okay. The XTube, same directory structure. Same there. XTube, that's the third project, right? XTube, you have the same directory structure with GIF, PDF, SVG, WAV, XHTML, XML, XSL. When you really get into XTube, you'll understand why this WAV file, that's like, you know, for each station, you can add some audio files if you want. Okay, like, you know, click on this thing to make some announcements or whatever. That's like, here's a brownie points. And SVG is a directory, finally, when you do an SVG, you know, image out of your entire XSL file, the output will go to that directory. Okay, so your goal is to generate an image, SVG image, of the London Underground map. Okay, huge challenge, but you'll have good fun. Okay, it's easy, but understand once you complete XSL part 1, the second part will be easy, SVG portion will be easy. Okay.
XTube is number 8 or 9
altogether? XTube is number 8. XTube, after my blockbuster, it's completely XTube.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that has another part, like, I think it has XHTML part, SVG, and then a converter. Okay. But I would say, no, let's not go into detail for XTube. Right now, just focus on B2B to keep my blockbuster. Next week, David will go through the XTube in detail. Okay. So that's all actually for today, unless otherwise you guys have any questions.
Quick question.
Sure.
So, is there a huge task to modify the template slightly on a local copy so that it publishes locally within my directory somewhere?
You can actually, you know. You can. I think you can build out XML if you have a local copy. You know, you can take it. As long as you keep on adding new targets, don't modify the existing targets, you're fine. Because otherwise when we build your solution, you know, we might be in trouble. Okay, so as long as he says that in the section, as long as you add your own new targets, you can do anything. You can add your new targets, new tasks, anything you want. Okay, and yes, yeah, you can write the receptive B commands and everything in your AND task, which will automatically move these files to next. Any other question?
Download
it somewhere on the... It is under the resources section,
I
think.
On the...
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they will...
So under the resources.
What was the question? Resources. The download link for that video and XBite.
Ah. I'm just looking at it, actually. Wait. I think it's under software. I think it's under software, yeah. It's under the software, under the link XQuery.
XQuery?
Yeah.
Saxon Stylus, is that...
The stylus is the software which you want to download.
What's XQuery? Is it in the...
I think he got a new license. That's what he sent in the email today. You know, for all the software, I think he got a new license. So it will be available for, I think, 4 or 7 months.
Okay.
I think even XML Spy and all has like, you know, trial version for 30 days or whatever. So,
yeah.
But you need at least for a couple of months, right?
So why do we get a license?
It's already there in his website itself, you know, like he had a key code. See, he says key code.
Oh, it's, wait, oh, Stylus Studio.
Yeah. Stylus, everything he mentioned under XML.
Yeah.
Under XML link, he has everything. Okay?
Yeah.
So you can finally put this for like 6 or 7 months, I believe. Yeah.
Part of the lecture I saw, he mentioned that Stylus Studio was developed by his clients.
Yeah.
So he managed
free license. Yeah. Fine.
So far, but you still have tons of emails.
I would recommend actually send a list.
Absolutely.
You know, like, the main thing is, like, you know, I would recommend you guys replying each other. Good thing is, you know, that will show where everybody understood the same way. Because otherwise it will be really tough. You know? Because if I'm at work, you might have to wait for like, you know, until 8 hours to get the reply. Mostly I might be free actually now because it's the last quarter, so it should be okay.
Where do you work?
State Street.
The bank.
Yeah, the bank.
So, do we have a section
marks on the occasional? Yeah, we'll do. So, if you guys go through this materials and everything, if you still have questions about the B2B and, you know, my blockbuster, you can do it.
Wednesday.
This section will be after lecture or before? Like
Wednesday.
This
Wednesday.
Virtual. Oh, the virtual. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, this Wednesday.
Yeah.
Not next week.
Do you guys need the this Wednesday? Or are you we're just skipping?
I think we're okay.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So we'll actually then meet next Wednesday. Okay.
So how long the homework will take to get back grades?
He asked me yesterday how long will it take for me. We'll do it in the maximum 2 weeks. You know, I will try my level best to get it done in 1 week. Because I want to get it done in 1 week because I have my other homework due in 2 weeks for that other class. So we'll try, but you know, 2 weeks is the maximum. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.